scripture reading this morning will be Acts 14:12. So then each of us shall give account of himself to God.
I once read about a preacher who kept a special book on his desk. The label on the book said complaints against other church members. From time to time, this preacher had a typical experience. People from within the congregation would come to him and start to criticize a fellow worshiper. After that process was begun, the preacher said to the person, "Just a minute, let's get the book." The book was opened, and the preacher said, "As you describe your objection or objections, I will record it or them. And when you're done, let's sign the complaint. Let's have you sign the complaint. And your signature will guarantee that when this allegation or when the charges are brought forth, the matter will be exact. We'll know exactly what to charge a person with because you will have signed on the dotted line." Now, this is a true story, and from what's told about it, the book, after a 40-year period, was completely empty. Nobody wanted to sign it. After they realized that they were going to be accountable for their words and their actions, "Oh, no, not me." Today's lesson is about personal responsibility. And the material applies to both those who are Christians and those who are not. The Bible teaches that every person who is old enough to know right from wrong is personally accountable for his or her actions in the eyes of God. The first reference, Romans 14:12, was read just a moment ago. Paul said there's a God. Not only is there a God, this God requires people to be accountable when they one day appear before him. The Bible says in Romans 14:12 that each person must account for himself or herself. There is, therefore, personal responsibility and accountability that not one individual will escape from. In the previous verse, if you're looking at Romans 14:12, verse 11 is even plainer. The Bible says that a time is coming when every single knee shall bow before God. There will be a day when every tongue shall confess to God. At the present, though, we often find examples of limited accountability. There are some people who feel that when it comes to the government, they're not accountable. They don't have to play by the rules. They're not going to answer to anybody, at least in their own minds. There are cases where employees are not very accountable to their employers. And we also find some instances where people feel that they are accountable only to themselves. Must be becoming more and more popular. But Romans 14:11 and 12 says that if we know good from evil, if we have reached that point in life, if we have that development in our mental intellect, we are accountable to God. One day he will call us before himself and judge us, and not one person will escape. Each individual will be assigned to a place for an unending existence. Now, if that's my fate, I have a strong interest in learning about the standard of judgment. For what will I be accountable if the God of heaven says one day I'm going to be called before him and I'm going to be held responsible for certain things? What's the standard? What's he going to be concerned about? I trust that that is a question that is of at least some interest to most who are here as well. Well, these questions can be answered with our remaining references. The next passage we want is Matthew 12, verse 37. In this chapter, Jesus has a lot to say about speech. In fact, this is the same chapter that says quite a bit about blaspheming the Holy Spirit. Verse 37 is after that discussion, and here's how it concludes. "For by thy words," Jesus said, "thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." Stated another way, what we say, how we talk, matters. God is concerned about our speech. Thus, when we appear before him, he will know every word that we spoke throughout our lifetime. A complete record will be available. Now, if we have not been forgiven of our sins, if we are still guilty of our transgressions, then every evil word that we spoke will be counted as a sin. I recently sat on a jury trial that considered whether or not a man had impersonated a police officer. Part of the evidence used against the accused was a videotape made by a state trooper. As the trooper was in his car, the videotape was rolling. They were able to get an audio feed somehow. Anyway, the defendant made a fist, punched the air, and swore. He cursed. This was all caught on tape, and the prosecutor in his closing argument asked him why he swore, and the man said, "I have no answer." Now, the prosecutor had a suggestion, but at least this fellow said, I have no reason. He used bad language, and he could not defend it. And as you look at Matthew 12, the Bible indicates that a similar thing is going to occur when people stand before the judge of all at that final court. There will be accountable people who have not been forgiven. And Matthew 12:37 affirms that they will be asked why they said bad words. Every single foul word. And there will not be an excuse. The only thing that can be rendered at that time will be a guilty verdict. And the Bible teaches that a guilty verdict on that day will result in eternal life without God. Well, in addition to being accountable for our words, we will be accountable for our actions. Paul affirmed this in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. And if you're turning there, we want to look at, I believe, three passages from the book of 2 Corinthians. We want two references from 2 Corinthians 5. And then we'll skip over to 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6, 7, and 8. When Paul wrote to the Corinthians in chapter 5 and verse 10, he again stressed the universal nature of the coming judgment. He used the word all in verse 10. He said, "For we must all be made manifest before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, whatever he's done, whether it's good or bad." Paul recognized in this passage that our deeds can be good or evil. At times, everybody does something that's good. I have never met, and I've never known about, anybody who was completely evil. And the same is true of evil. There is a time in each of our lives, no matter how good, no matter how righteous we try to be, where we are all evil. Well, if that's the case, if each person who is accountable is sometimes good and sometimes evil, how can God partition out who should be saved and who should not? Well, the Bible answers that question as well. Sometimes, though, people don't go to the Bible for an answer. They go somewhere else. They say, well, you know, yeah, it's true that we all do good things and we all do evil things. So our belief is that we need to stockpile good deeds. And if we do enough good deeds, if we are decent and moral enough, then all of our righteous deeds will outweigh the bad. And God will allow us into heaven. Well, decency outweighing evil is a common belief, but it's not found in scriptures. What we do find in the Bible are verses like 2 Corinthians 5:17, about three-fourths of the way through the chapter. Wherefore, Paul said, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things are passed away. Behold, they are become new. Those people who are accountable are either in Christ or out of Christ. There is no third category. If we are in Christ, we have forgiveness of sins and access to God. Being in Christ allows evil deeds, every single evil deed, to be forgiven and good deeds to be remembered. But when the people of the world are out of Christ, then that means every evil word, Matthew 12:37, is remembered against them. And it also means that every evil act is not forgiven either. Good deeds are not forgotten, but they cannot counter or overcome our wrongs if we're not in Christ. If that were possible, if the idea is right that we can, through decency and goodness and kindness, overcome all the evil in our life, let me ask you to consider this question. Of what value is Christ? Of what use was Jesus dying on the cross if our good deeds can take us to heaven? I can't answer that question, and I do not believe anyone else can provide a satisfactory answer either. We must be in Christ to be a new creature, 2 Corinthians 5, 20, 17. And the Bible says the final step for that is being baptized into Christ, Galatians 3:27. Well, before we look at some other verses, let's consider at this juncture what's been stated thus far. If we stand before God in a state where we are accountable but not forgiven, we're going to be lost. We will be eternally separated from God. If we are held accountable for every evil word that we've ever spoken and every evil act that we have committed, there will definitely be enough to condemn us, each person in this room. But the Bible goes a little bit further. I said our third reference from 2 Corinthians is found in the ninth chapter, 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6, 7, and 8. In these three verses, Paul brings to mind really fall time, summertime, the idea of harvesting crops, taking what's been grown. And beginning in verse 6, he says, "But thus I say, he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Let each man do according as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth the cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound unto you, that ye, having always all sufficiency in everything, may abound unto every good work." We will be held accountable for our material resources. In life, there are people who have almost nothing, and they give almost nothing. Others have a little, but they give quite a bit of their limited resources. A third group has a lot, but keeps most of what they have to afford themselves. A fourth group has a lot and gives a lot. We will, Paul says, one day account for what we had. In other places, the Bible refers to this as stewardship. Stewardship relates to everything that we have and how well we use it. It can be time. In this context, it's money. It may involve our bodies, our abilities, or something else. But God says to us, no matter what we have to use in life, we are personally responsible and accountable for that. And this even applies to our opportunities. I want to interject quickly. Another reference comes from the book of James. It's kind of a quick shift, but the point does relate quite well when we think about accountability and all of the items in life that come our way. This is at the end of James 4, again, verse 17. To him, therefore, that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is a sin. Who here? Or who here knows someone who has never missed an opportunity to do good? That's not true in my life. There are some opportunities that I've missed. And I dare say that each one of you, we don't have to go back very far in our minds to think about a time where there was an opportunity to do good and we failed to do it. The Bible says that's wrong. That is a sin. It's a frightening verse because we are accountable in this area as well. That's an opportunity. We are stewards of those times. 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 through 8. If we are in Christ, that's good news because those missed opportunities can be forgiven. But if we're not in the Lord, if we're not that new creature in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17, then we will be asked to account for these times as well. And what will people say? There'll be no justification, no reason, no acceptable excuse. All that can be said is a guilty verdict. If accountability on our part were only listed or limited to the areas given thus far, we would have plenty of incentive to be a Christian, to say, yes, I want to be in Christ. I want to be that new creature, 2 Corinthians 5:17. There's more than enough condemnation in the areas that we have looked at to show each person our need for Christ. But I have saved the most damaging area for last. And this takes us back to Matthew's account, Matthew chapter 5, verses 27 and 28. The Jews were familiar with adultery and fornication, divorce. But when Jesus came along, if you look at the Gospels, when he discussed these subjects, he presented some information on these topics that was absolutely shocking. He was a teacher who was saying some things that some other teachers in this day and time were not saying. And one of his points, as I said, is found in Matthew 5, verses 27 and 28. If you found these two passages, let's read them now. Ye have heard that it was said, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that everyone that looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Earlier we noted how evil words will be used against us. We found that evil actions on our part will be held against us. Being poor stewards, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, will be used to fault us and condemn us. Failing to do good, James 4, verse 17, when the opportunities arise, will also convict us of sin. And if that's not enough, here as you look at what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, personal responsibility, personal accountability comes through even more vividly. The Bible teaches that we are even accountable for our thoughts. What if we think an evil word but not say it? I'm asked that question from time to time. We may pat ourselves on the back and think, I did a good thing today. I really wanted to chew him out. I really wanted to engage in a verbal insult with her, but I kept my tongue. Well, there's a sense in which that measure of self-control is good, that is commendable. But as you look at it from Matthew chapter 5, you find that a sin was still committed. It may have been, shall we say, less of a sin. It certainly was a more limited transgression, but still, under God's will and God's law, it was wrong. God knows not only about every action, not only about every foul word, but he also knows about every thought. And he teaches that the unsaved will account for them as well. The thoughts in our mind, expressed or not, include every conceivable area. As Jesus said, adultery, fornication, lust, anger, greed, envy, hate, murder, nothing is excluded. Matthew 5 affirms that we are personally accountable for what we think. At some point in time, each one of us is going to come to our last day. We will see our last sunset. There will be our last meal. It will be one final time to see friends and family. There will be a final chance to right our relationship with God. And after we die, the Bible says, based on the verses that I've given and some that I did not, that we will account for our actions. That's a promise from God. It is a guarantee that there will not be any exceptions for if we are an accountable person. What if that final time, though, were right now? What if the judge of all mankind would he say to you this very moment, now give an account of your life. The day of reckoning has come. What will you say? Would his verdict be saved or lost? Would he say, come to me or go from me? That time is coming, and all who are accountable will stand before the great judge. Are we ready? We're going to sing an invitation song that says those very words. Are we ready? If the answer to that question is no, and we know that we're accountable to God, will you not do what you need to do? Whether you need to be baptized into Christ, to become a Christian, to take that final step, you believe, you want to live in the right way, you're now ready to confess Christ and be joined to him in that way, or you've not lived correctly as a Christian in the past, you know that. And this morning you're willing to take accountability for that wrong as well and say, God, I'm going to live for you. I'm going to live in the way that's right. Can we help you? Are you ready? That's the question that we're asking right now. Ken? Yeah.